Missionary to Nigeria, pastor in Australia, and here in Little Caledonia, Wisconsin. Amen. God has her breaking the bread of life. And so receive what God has for us tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. What an awesome presence of God in this place. You can be seated. As we were praying, I was thinking, you know, you can lay your hands on and you can feel the presence and power of God and you can continue. But to the person that you touch and just lay your hand on, don't, if someone did that to you and you were asking for healing, it's not the person that's praying for you. It's Jesus that touches you, and he can touch you anywhere at any time. So if you think that somebody didn't pray long enough for you or the right words, God touched you. And when you thank him in the morning and you have your healing, it's not going to matter anyway. You know, God gets all the glory for all the things that we do, and give him the glory. Hallelujah. Yes, I was kind of moaning and groaning this morning because I was thinking, oh my goodness, pastor's using my scripture again. And I thought, well, okay, Lord. And then he said that it's an antiseptic. That's it, antibiotic, second round. So here we go, church. I just thank God he had given me a... Hello? Eight. I feel like the Statue of Liberty. I turned it on. It's okay. I turned it on. I have to use this because otherwise my hands get going and I think it's a distraction. Sister Karen and I were driving down KR the other day and it must have been a good discussion because the guy behind me all of a sudden was going. And I'm looking in my rearview mirror and I said to Karen that we must have had an intense discussion going, you know, because and then I realized it was my hands doing this and he was just like, hurry up, lady, you know. And so I have to be careful and try to hang on to something. Because I do get excited about the Word of God. There's life in the Word of God. And we never know what God's going to do until he does it. But I want to have an expectation that he's always going to do something. He hears our prayers and he answers our prayer. And not one of us does he ignore. We've got the Holy Ghost in us. That's him in us, living in us. And he's using us as a plan. He's got a plan for us to use us. And why would he ignore us? Why would he leave us behind? Why would he reject us? Why would he do anything negative to his children? He's a good father. And he's got a word tonight, and I thank him for it. And I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 37, verses 1 through 3, if you'll turn there with me. I found out something that with the Lord, I can make notes and I can have a plan too. You know, like, okay, Lord, I feel like this is what you've given to me. And sometimes he just takes it a whole another way. And I just want his will to be done tonight. Isaiah 37, 1, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke and of blaspheme. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring them forth. If you'll keep your finger on that scripture and turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 verse 13 says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Verse 16, "And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Brother Schumacher, would you please pray for this message and me? Amen. You may be seated. Hezekiah said, "This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring them forth." This day. What is he talking about? Israel was blessed by God, but when they went astray, God allowed enemies to come against them. You know, sometimes that happens. I think the United States right now is being subjected to the will of God in all these things that are taking place. When you take God out of your nation, and you take God out of your schools, and you take God out of your lives, we're subject to the things that happen to us. It rains on the just and the unjust. And when we become unjust, we're going to get just as much rain as the just. And when we are just, we don't need to question God like, "Hey, why is this happening to me?" God has a plan and a purpose for the church and for our lives, each and every one of us. He directs us. He talks to us through his word, through the preaching of the pastor or whoever who's up behind this pulpit, through those that come and talk to us. God can use a sinner just as much as he can use a saint. And we have to have ears. When we're hungry for God, that means we're hungry for his word. We're searching all the time. In the day that you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. If we start out in the morning and we're praying and talking to God and getting in tune with him all that day, we don't know what God is going to bring by us. I had a lady the other day, and I regret this so much. I pick up people a lot of times. And I saw a lady walking from the grocery store, but she was kind of far away from it. She was a few blocks, and she had about 6 bags, 3 in each hand. And I thought, I remember when I didn't have a car and I had to go get groceries or take my laundry to a laundromat. I remember I should pick her up. And I was in a hurry. You know, I had things to do. I wanted to get somewhere. And by the time I'm thinking about it, I had already passed her a couple of blocks. Well, by then it was kind of convenient to say, "Well, I'm kind of out of the way right now." And yet something strikes me in my heart when I think about it. We are to love people. And God wants us to be a light to people. And when he gives us an opportunity, and I missed it that day. What is happening with King Hezekiah here? When the enemy is coming against him, all of a sudden he finds they're surrounded, Jerusalem. The Bible says that the Assyrians, the enemy, it was over 5,000 in number, had taken the defense cities, those cities that were protected by their walls. They had already taken them. And now they have come to Jerusalem to take Jerusalem. And I guess how they used to battle back then was they would send people to talk to those in charge. And so King Sennacherib from Assyria sent some men in to talk to, King Hezekiah sent some men out to talk to King Sennacherib and say, okay, what's going on? And there was a discussion that, well, we're going to take you over. And they're just listening. And the news was this. If you turn to Isaiah 36:14, they're telling King Hezekiah's men, thus saith the king, starting in verse 14, chapter 36. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Let not Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cisterns, until I come and take you away, like your own land, and the land of corn, and wine, and a land of bread and vineyards. When we listen to the devil, and we listen to the enemy speak to our soul, oh, let me give you a present. Let me show you what looks good. Let me do this for you. He makes sin pleasant. Pleasures for a season there. Pleasures for a time. You ever see somebody that's been doing dope and you know, their face and even in just smoking cigarettes, when you do it over a long time, the difference, it takes away years of what you look like. They have pictures. This is the before and this is the after. Sin is not pretty. It isn't pleasant, especially when you know God. Because if you know God and you really love God and you want God, there's a conviction that God puts in us, not a condemnation. The devil will be there. Hey, did God tell you this? Did God tell you that? But there's a conviction that rises up and says, this is wrong. This is not right. And here these men are saying, hey, come on out to us and do this, and we'll give you fig trees, and we'll give you houses and lands. But what's behind all that? You're going to be a prisoner.
Right.
We're going to own you. You're going to have to obey us and do what we want you to do. That's the hidden side of Satan. Oh, he can show you pretty things, and he can take you high, and he can take you in the lows, and he can get you through the valley even. But what's on the other side of that? What are you going to owe him when he comes to collect? Is it going to be your soul? Yes, it will be your soul. But it's going to be too late by the time you realize that. There's a lot of things going on in the church. You know, a lot of things that the enemy comes in and he attacks us. And he does things. And as the world goes, I hate to say it, so does the church. You know, we used to say in Nigeria, as the church goes, there goes Nigeria. And that's the way it used to be. When the church was going down, you could tell Nigeria was rising up in power, the enemy. But when the church was doing well, God was blessing the country. But as we want to attach ourselves to the world and be taken under and have somebody over us, the church, because we are the church. And when it comes time to bring forth children, there's no strength. Because who did we give it to?
Amen.
We gave it to the enemy.
Yeah.
We sold our soul to the enemy. You know, sometimes we come to church. I asked Karen this, Sister LaFournier, sorry. And I said, Karen, I said, yeah, well, that's what I said, Sis Karen. I don't usually call her Sister LaFournier at home. Anyway, I said, do we act normal at home? You know, do we fight? Do we not get along? And she goes, no, we do good. Because I said, you know, I got to preach something. And I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to say something that I'm doing. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I know that there is not one of us that's perfect, church, not one. And we don't have a right to point a finger at somebody. Because if we do that, I don't know with you, but mine, I got 10 fingers that come back at me, and I feel every one of them. And if we're not feeling those things, then maybe we need to pray a little more. Maybe we need to get more back in tune with God. Maybe we've been a little bit too busy. And maybe we put things before God so that when Sennacherib comes to the gate, oh yeah, we'll go with him. It sounds good. I'm telling you, church, we cannot live with fornication. We cannot live with drugs. We can't live with having a smoke here and there. If we want to have holy bodies and be holy for God, we cannot have sin working in our life. There's a difference between, yep, I'm going to continue this way, or God, forgive me. Help me to overcome. But when we give up trying to overcome, there's a problem. You know what they did when Sennacherib got through saying this and that and that, you know, we're going to do this and we'll do that. And when the good things didn't work, then he began the threats. And King Hezekiah's men just sat there and listened. And in verse 21, it says they didn't answer him. They held their peace. There was no answer. And when they left, they went back to tell King Hezekiah what he had said. And immediately he says, we've got to tell the prophet. We've got to tell Isaiah. And Isaiah said, don't be afraid. Chapter 37, verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thou shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, see, they didn't blaspheme the people, they blasphemed God. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. God speaking about this king Sennacherib. Behold, God is going to send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. God fights for us. If we stand still, we will see the salvation of the Lord. It is a promise to us. God gives us promises that we can stand on. It may not come today, and it may not come tomorrow, and it may not come next month or next year, but if God said it,
amen,
it will happen.
Amen.
Sometimes we get weary in well-doing and we think, oh, we're doing all we can do. Where's God? God has given us a promise, church, and he cannot lie. If he's told you he's going to heal you, if he's told you he's going to save you, if he told you that he's going to save your family, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, God will do it. He will do it. Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know what? You're not going to see these Egyptians again. And when we are obedient to God, God comes through. But if we try to take matters into our own hands, even if we try to overcome things in our own self, we can't do it. We don't have the strength in our flesh to overcome. Our flesh yearns for wild things and to do things that we shouldn't be doing. But the Holy Ghost in us, it's God within us. That gives us that power and that strength and that wisdom to overcome. Church, we are living in the last days and he is coming soon. If we just lay down and give up, there's no more hope. Sometimes we don't preach. I've said this before. Sometimes we don't preach enough about hell. And we don't preach about the things that God will do to those that turn their back on him. I don't know about you, but my dad used his hand on my rear, and I think I've said that before. And it wasn't just to pinch it. Believe me, it was a few whaps, and it was a little back then, and it hurt. It hurt. And so when he would go out of town and I'd get a little wild, and my mom would say, wait till your dad gets home. I would start shaking. Do you know, this week I took two new Christians, sort of new, one day and one another day, up in the airplane with me. And you know, it's awesome to be around baby Christians. It's awesome. It reminded me of me way back when, you know. I mean, it's just, what, you guys haven't been around baby Christians for a while? And very exciting, you know. I mean, one, we even got a picture, and she's doing this. Okay, I can't do it right. If she was here, it's like, woo! You know, when we landed, it was awesome. But her woo was to Jesus.
Right.
Of course, you know, my flying might have helped it. I don't know. There has to be babies in the church. There has to be newborns in the church. I have been in some churches around this country, and you're seeing older churches. Older people and no babies. I was talking to a man not too long ago, and I might have said this before. He's a Lutheran. And he was saying three of their churches have to combine because they can't afford the buildings that they're in just because their congregations are dwindling. Last days. Last days. People are giving up their faith. Oh, it's okay. I can't remember who said it this morning, I think, but it's okay. I can feel God fishing. Was that you that just said it tonight? Okay, one of you guys maybe. You know? Yeah, I can feel God fishing too when I catch a fish. You know? Woohoo! That's great. But it's not like being in the midst of my family here, coming together. And saying, I can go fishing another time, or I can go golfing another time, or I can play softball another time, when I used to, when my knees were good. You know, seriously. You know, yeah, I can get the boat out and feel God. I can see God out at my cabin at night, out in the woods, away from Wisconsin. We've got to get serious, church. We've got to get serious. I have got to get serious. I've got to start picking up some more people. I've got to talk to the people I'm around. I've got a new boss. I've got new people that I'm working with. The door is wide open. And I'm sure some of you are sitting there going, oh, that's nice for you, Sister Jenkins. Don't you remember when you got the Holy Ghost, how much you wanted to tell everybody? Where are the people that used to come and get the Holy Ghost and dance all over this place? Where are the midnight prayer hours that we used to do? You know, we think the church, the world is turning, but the church has turned. Teachers would pray and have coffee and donuts and all the good stuff, and then they'd go out and they'd visit their Sunday school classes. The bus ministry. The bus ministry. We'd go out door knocking. And if we weren't on the bus ministry looking for kids, we were looking for moms and dads or husbands and wives. We were doing anything we could do. We were handing out tracts and talking to people. And you know what it did? It brought some people. It may not brought a lot, but you know what else it did? It put those young kids, those baby Christians, it gave them excitement to be used by God in something they could do and go out and bind together and be excited about seeing what God would do. Because sometimes they don't know how to teach a Bible study until they're taught, Brother Foreman. Sometimes they don't know how to talk to people. But if they go out and they're with other people, it's a group. We used to go to parks and sing in parks. I don't want to be a used to person.
Amen.
I want to be a now person. Yeah. In the now. But I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be the only one. Because I can't do it by myself. Pastor can't be pastor by himself. Brother Portman can't be assistant pastor and a youth, whatever they're doing down there, by himself. Well, whatever they're doing good. Can we say that about you? Whatever you're doing, are you doing it good? You go home and fight with your husband and wife. You go home and fight with your kids and then come back to church and have to pray through again. You go on to work and the swearing stuff. You know, I mean, adults. My age. That's old. And you'd think that they were sailors still. You know? And we hear this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's coming out of our mouth.
Right.
How nasty is that? When God is so holy, and he's so good.
Right.
You know, and he wants other things to come out of our mouth. Like, hey, you know how good God is? You know God's holy? What's holy? What? And then you want to tell him what God is. You know, a little baby Christian trying to tell what holy is? You know, I'd like to hear a little child. Do we have any in here right now? I'd like to hear what a little child would say, how God is holy. Maybe they say, oh, he dresses in white. Maybe they'd say, well, you can't see him, but he shines all around him. What do we say? Say, God is holy. Does it mean he's pure? Does it mean he loves me? How can a holy God love me? Does it mean that he died for me? What does holy mean? He has no ill feelings toward me? Are you holy? What do I say? Is your heart right with God? What an awesome God we serve. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8 just says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy that wants to destroy us. Even Jesus was tempted by him. But his remark was, when the devil said, change these stones to bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, what about going up to the top of the hill here, God? And you know what? Throw yourself off that church steeple. And thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus was tested. He's no different than us when it comes to his temptations. And likewise, he has been tempted in all ways. So he understands us. We have no excuse. God doesn't know. God doesn't. How can God understand that? Because he was flesh also. And there isn't any new sin under the sun. And the devil's had a long time to throw around what he does. And the last one is exceedingly high mountains. Okay, I'm going to take you up to the exceeding high mountains, and I'm going to show you the world. And if you'll just worship me, you can have it all. Sennacherib, you know what? If you just come with me, you can have it all.
Right. Wrong.
Didn't work for him. And he got scared, and he turned it over to God. And that's what we should do when we're tested and tempted. You know what? We need to turn it over to God. And God will say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of it. I will help you. I will go before you. Stand. Stand in what you do.
Amen.
In the day of trouble, this is the day of trouble. And these things are going to come against us. These things are coming against us. It's how we handle them. You know, God isn't a moody God. I like that. Because sometimes I'm moody. And that just tells me, church, when if I want to be like God, I better not be moody.
Right.
I better not. In that last scripture that I read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows. That woman, type and shadow of the church. That husband, a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, the husband of the church. And yes, there is going to be sorrow and there's going to be suffering serving God. But we're going to bring forth children. And there's going to be trials, because I can tell you this, you know, here I am, I'm going to preach tonight. And I'm sitting there talking to Sister LaFournier, and I stub my toe on one of the pew things. And I got a run in my nylon. I said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I'm going to be up there in front of everybody with a run in my nylon. You know, the Lord knows how to get, or the devil knows how to get to you, you know. I mean, that's what's awesome about new Christians. Again, let me go back to that. That is so awesome. I'll get back to that run. But baby Christians, you know, they want to try things with God, and God is so willing to show them himself, because they're learning. And they see God in everything. You know, everything. I saw a picture of a cloud yesterday or today, and it was full of Jesus and angels. I get to still see things. You know, we don't need to outgrow and get too big for ourselves. But God wants to show baby Christians what he can do. And they get so excited, because he does. But then when we get older, saints, and you wonder, how come God isn't doing what he used to do? Because there is a time. There is a time that we have to grow up. There is a time that it's not feeling God for healing, but trusting God and knowing that God does answer. There's a time that we don't need to see God in everything. Although we want to. I do. But if we don't, does that mean he's not there? He may be checking us out. He may be testing us. Well, what are you going to do if you don't feel me? You know? But when it's over with, watch out. You're going to have the squeeze on. He puts his arms around us, and he squeezes us so tight, and he holds us so close. As long as we stay with him and do what he wants. That run, yeah, it went halfway up my knee. I don't think that's on ladylike, is it? Right on the line? Okay, I'll watch it. So Sister LaFornia, I ran to Sister LaFornia. I said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And she says, I'll go to Walgreens and get you another pair. I said, oh, thank you. Oh, what are friends for, you know? Whew. So she comes back with a brand new pair of nylons, and I run and put them on. And by the time I get out here, I got two runs in them. I am not kidding, church. I am not kidding. So I got the old pair back out of the garbage. She also bought me a little of that, you know, nail polish, clear nail polish, you know, because you can stick that on there and they're supposed to not make it run anymore. So I tried to, you know, take care of that first run. Well, it kind of bent the toe over, but it worked. I'm just saying that to say this, you know, when we do things for God, sometimes the enemy wants to stop us.
Yes.
And God allows things like that. How are you going to act? I'm going to panic and have a heart attack, I'm going to tell you. No, not really. How are we going to act when God allows a test to come our way? You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to take the challenge and be obedient? Some of you have this smile on your face. It's hard for me to preach right now. It's like, well, what's next? 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this. He said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of men, all men, most miserable. If we don't have Jesus, what do we have?
Right.
We have nothing. But Psalms 31:24 says, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. If things aren't going right now, they will.
Amen.
Don't give up your hope in God.
Amen.
Hang in there and see what God will reward you with and what he will do for you.
Right.
Isaiah 66:8-9. You know that woman that had a hard time bringing forth? When Hezekiah says, man, we've got children, but we don't have the strength to bring them forth. Church, can I tell you this? We can't do anything in ourselves.
Right.
When we try, we can preach till we're blue in the face. We can sing and worship until the rafters are swinging. But if God isn't in it,
right,
it's nothing. If we don't have love one for another, we cannot do it alone.
Amen.
We cannot make this walk by ourselves.
Right.
We've got to have forgiveness in our heart. Remember, every time you point that finger, the 10 that come back, the 5 that come back. But when you do good, I see Brother McGee, Ben McGee is here, and he gave me permission to say this. He wanted so bad to go to California. He had a trip all planned to go to California. He was gonna go. And all of a sudden, I got a text from him one night. The plans kind of fell through, and he says, "You think that's God telling me that I'm not supposed to go?" And so we discussed it. And he writes me back, and he says, "Yeah, I don't think I'm supposed to go." And then I think it was this week or last week, he texted and said, "I guess being obedient to God gives you a full-time job." God gave him a full-time job. When we do what we know to do and do it right, God will honor. God will honor. That woman again, Isaiah 66, 8, 9 says, "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God?" When it's time, God is going to be the one to bring it forth.
Amen.
And it will happen, church. It will happen. But we still need to do what we are supposed to do. The old church, we were fasting and we were praying and we midnight hour prayers and this group and that group. And I've heard stories about the beginning of this church where you were over at church and just rolling on the floor because God was moving so much. How come we're not rolling on the floor anymore? There were prayer times when tears and people were just crying and people were going over all sorts of times. How come we're not doing that now? How come when people would stay at the altar and pray because God touched their hearts so much that they couldn't get away from the altar?
Amen.
How about going home from a church service like today and saying, "I can't eat, man, I got to get with God"? What are we doing, church? What are we doing? Maybe that's why we've got to get some strength in us. In our strength, not in ourselves, but in the Holy Ghost through prayer, seeking God, through fasting, through denial. So we get into a place that God can use us and we can hear Him. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. My last scripture is this. One of the greatest apostles ever, Paul. He gave up everything. He gave up prestige, position, power. Went to the best schools. Said he was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was born free. He was a free man. And yet, he gave it all up in Philippians 3, 7 and 8. And he said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them dung that I may win Christ."
Amen.
Don't just win him for yourself. Win him with someone else.
Yeah.
Let's start bringing people to church. They need us, but we need them. We need some babies running around this place. We need some excitement. We don't want to just be a bunch of old people dying off. I don't. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jenkins. Amen. There's some effort in having children. The reason we have children is because we love our spouse and we want to duplicate ourselves in our children, but we know that there's going to be some effort in order to bring those children up in the same way that we are. And when you're young, you have the energy in order to do that. When you get a little older, you have a second thought. Travailing is really two messages in one. That is going to take some travailing. There's going to be some sorrow in conception and childbearing. But oh, the joy. I saw all of these people gathered around Sister Coffee this morning because little Bennett was there and they oohed and aahed. And just a week ago, Saturday, she was standing there, big as a house. And I said, Sister Coffee, you need to be delivered. And then this morning, looking at her, she's completely changed. I don't know how much travailing went on, but I'll tell you what, joy comes in the morning when you see that child. There couldn't be a greater joy in this church than to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and see Him changing before you. David said this in Psalms 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Create in me, restore the joy of my salvation. And then all of a sudden, here come the babies. Here come the joy of the church. Amen. That's what I want. Lori Ledger, every time I see her, is woo! She's not a baby anymore, but she's still just as excited as she was when she was filled with the Holy Ghost. I just have to say this. I am so glad I've never gotten a run in my stocking. Yeah. I said to my wife this morning, there was a scripture that it keeps going on in my mind. I read yesterday in Philippians 2, I think it's verse 5, where it said, Jesus made himself of no reputation. And sometimes we got to get to the place where we recognize, you know, God, I don't even know why you consider me. He said to Saul, when you were little in your own sight, I made you king. And I think if we all got to that place of humility and a little in our own sight, there'd be a move of God in each and every one of our lives. There's something so attractive about the Holy Ghost that people will want to follow us into the church. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jenkins. Would you stand with me? Amen. Glory to God. Well, we've heard from God today. God's talking to us about having children. Amen. And now we can't just put that aside, but You know what? We really need to act on what God has told us. Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?